Bava Metzia, Perek Beis, Mishnah Gimel 2-3. Now, the previous Mishnah laid down one of two possibilities when you find something. Either A, you can keep it, or B, you have to announce you found it to do your mitzvah Hashavas Aveda, awaiting for the person who lost it to come claiming it by giving simanim. Now, the orientation of the Mishnah is, in general, for the whole Perek, isn't you found something, can you keep it? It's you found something, what is your obligation to your fellow Jew who is the owner of this lost item? So the first Mishnah said, well, if he's given up hope because he'll never get it back, you have no obligations, therefore if you want, you can keep it. The second one was he presumably hasn't given up on finding it, and therefore your obligation is to do your best to try to return it to him. There is a third possibility, which is you're not permitted to keep it, nor are you required to take it and announce that you found it. And that's a scenario in which you're taking it and announcing it is actually going to cause more trouble to the rightful owner than if you just leave it alone. So the starting point of our Mishnah is, in this Mishnah Gimel, is to ask, well, where did you find this? And there are three kinds of places you could find it. In other words, besides the questions that we asked previously, is there a simon, isn't there a simon, was this put down intentionally, derech hanacha, or was it just, did it drop, derech nefila? There's another question that this Mishnah wants to ask, which is, what kind of a place did you find it in? Is it makom mishtamer, a protected area where it would be a safe place to leave something, to come back and find it later? A makom she'eno mishtamer, a place which is totally not protected, and therefore, if you leave it there, you're never going to get it back again because it's just a rum, whatever it is. And there's a middle category, which is a makom mishtamer ktsas, a partially protected, a kind of safe place. Not really safe, but kind of safe. So it's a middle position. And when you find something in such a place like that, the question remains unresolved. Did the person leave it here on purpose and he's coming back for it? Or did he leave it here on accident? So we don't know. And therefore, you have a suffix whether or not you have a mitzvah to do a Shavas Aveda, or if you just leave it be. So the Mishnah here says, starting like this, Matzah achar hagapo achar hagader gozalos mukusharn. If you find behind a gapa, which is like a fence, or a gader in modern Hebrew is a fence, but in the Mishnah, throughout the Mishnahs, the gader is a low wall made out of stones that are piled together. So it functions like a fence, but it's made out of stones. Okay? So you find behind this fence, gozlos mukusharin, little birds that have had their wings pinned. So because their wings are pinned, they can't fly away. Okay? But because they're just gozlos, little birds, they don't have a simon to them. The way their wings were pinned back is just, or tied down, is just a standard way, and therefore there's no simon. So there's no way that the person who lost them could ever give simon to claim them back again. And these things move around, there's no makom for them and so on. So the question, therefore, is what should you do? So the Mishnah says, if you find someone like that, or for the matter, o bishvilin shebesados, or you find these birds on some kind of back path in the middle of the hills, somewhere in the fields, where, you know, it's again, makom mishtemer ktsas, not really a place that people normally walk, so that's kind of safe to leave things there for a short amount of time. So now we're not sure. Did the person intentionally leave these birds here, planning on coming back in a little while to come get them? Or did he lose them and he'd want to get them back? And the problem is, even if he lost them and would like to get them back, so what are you going to do? If you take the birds, what kind of simon will he give? There's no certainty about the number of birds there were before. There's no certainty to the identifying features because there's nothing special about these birds. There's no special location which they're left because the birds, you know, jump about a little bit. And therefore, says the Mishnah, Harei ze lo yiga behen, simply don't touch them. You can't get involved because if you take them, you're doing a disservice to the owner who may be coming back, who maybe hasn't yet given up hope, and therefore they very possibly belong to somebody else. Since it's a suffix d'orais, you cannot take them, but therefore you just leave them as be. Now, a similar kind of case, what if matza kli ba'ashpa? You find someone's utensil in the dump. Now, in the Mishnah's world, people didn't just throw things away. They reuse them. If they were functional in any little way, they would reuse them. Not like today. Nowadays, if you find a knife in the dump with a rickety handle or a coffee mug with a chip in it, so of course it's just garbage. But in the time of the Mishnah, the assumption is people want their knife back or their coffee cup back, even if it's rickety or if it's got a chip. And therefore, you have to assume that if you found that they want it back. So you find this in the dump where people do, of course, dispose of things, but they also hide things. In the good old days, they didn't have much storage space. So if you had something valuable and you had no place to put it, you would hide it in a place where people don't go, like, for example, in the dump, where you can come back later on and get it. Of course, we're talking here about a dump, an ashpa, which isn't cleared out from time to time. It's like a permanent dumping area, so it's going to sit there until someone else goes to, you know, reclaim it. So says the Mishnah, im mechuse, if the object that you found was totally concealed, it was hidden, like it was a hole, someone dug a hole in the dump, put their, you know, cup, and then sealed and covered it up again. So then, when you were digging in the dump to try to find a place to hide your cup, and you find this guy's cup, you have to assume he got there first, he put it there for safekeeping, and he's planning on coming back to get it in the future. So therefore, lo yigabo, don't touch it. Leave it be, because someone put it there on purpose, obviously. It's not considered an aveda at all. It's not a lost object for which you have a mitzvah. It's someone's safe, you know, hiding spot. And even he'll say, listen, why can't I just err to the side of caution? I'll dig it up, I'll announce it, and the person can get it back again. Says the Rambam, yeah, but you're really inconveniencing the guy. I mean, he's going to come looking for his object when he needs it. He won't find it there. Then he has to track you down. It's a whole project. So therefore, best just don't do anything at all, because the evidence, as the Mishnah is seeing it here, is that the person intentionally put it there, and therefore it's not an aveda. It's not a lost object. But imagule, if the way you find this object in the dump was that it's exposed, meaning it wasn't hidden here, so someone didn't put it here on purpose, and therefore I know it's a dump, but the Mishnah assumes if it's a kli that could be worn or used, there's no reason to think someone would throw it away. They would just wear it with a patch or, you know, with a chip or whatever the story is. And that being the case, no telu machriz, you have to take it and announce that you found it to return it to its rightful owner. And again, the assumption is that every utensil has some kind of simon. People would want it back. Next case, the Mishnah, is now, you could find something in a makom mishtamer, but it's so old, it could be safe to assume the person has long since abandoned it, or that it didn't belong to a Jew in the first place. Remember that the psukim say that it's achicha, your brother, to whom you have to return lost objects, but that wouldn't apply to a non-Jew. So here the Mishnah says, matzah begal uvachotel yashan. You find it, this object, let's call it again the coffee cup. I guess let's go with the knife. So you find the knife in a gal, that's like a mound, a pile. So what happens is there was a wall here, and the wall is crumbled, making like a pile of rubble. And in the rubble of that gal, that pile of rocks, you find this, you know, this knife. Ubakotel yashan, or if you find it inside a wall, and it's an old wall. So now, what does old wall mean? Old means that it's been around so long that we've forgotten who built the wall. Its origins are uncertain to us. And that being the case, it's very possible that some previous owner, a previous non-Jew, who knows what, hid this knife in this wall. Meanwhile, the wall fell over, the wall is now old. And the evidence is that it's somebody else's. And the reason why we think that is because, as the Gemara speaks out, we're talking here about an object that seems like it's been here for a very long time. Like, for example, it may have a simon on it, but it's like gone rusty in the meantime. It's all covered in rust. So obviously whoever put it here has long since forgotten about it and left it there. It's been abandoned, so you can have it. Matzah b'kosel chadash. However, if you find this object in a quote-unquote new wall. Now, new doesn't mean last week. It can mean it's been here for 100 years. But if the person who lives there now has always been there since his great-grandfather built the wall, and then his grandfather inherited it from the great-grandfather, and he inherited it from his grandfather, whatever the story is. So now we know that what's in the wall must belong to the owners, because we know its identity, and therefore we have to assume it belongs to whoever the house, the estate belongs to. So just because you're renting an Airbnb for the weekend and staying in this place, you can't assume that, you know, it's yours to keep now. We have to assume it belongs to the owner of the estate, because it's been there from the beginning. The wall has been there from the beginning. So, says the Mishnah, well, let's just clarify something further. If the wall has a hole in it, and the hole runs the whole way, the entire way through, from end to end, one end is the estate, and the other end is the Rosh Hashanah, the public place. So now, it's possible that the person who lives there, or if his grandfather, for that matter, stuck it in the wall, and they just forgot about it, but it still belongs to them. It's also possible somebody from the street put it there for safekeeping, planning on coming back to get it, and they've forgotten about it. So if you find this thing, it's covered in rust, it's been there for a long time. So now the location of the wall will determine where we'll assume it originated. So if you mechetzio ulechutz, if you find it in the outer half of the wall, meaning the side that faces the Rosh Hashanah, closer to the public domain. And it's covered in rust, so presumably someone put it there a long time ago. It could be covered in rust, covered in dust, covered in, you know, rot if it's wood. The point is, it's been there forever, you know, not literally forever, been there for a long time, and whoever put it there obviously is not coming back because they wouldn't have let their object go to such to ruin. And it's on the side that faced the Rosh Hashanah, so presumably some random person put it there. Therefore, shalom, you can keep it. Even if it has a simon, you can keep it because it's been abandoned, and therefore you can safely assume the person not coming looking for it, so he's given up hope, and there's yeush, and therefore it's ownerless, and therefore you acquire it. But mechetzi uvilifnim, if you find it on the inner half of the wall, meaning closer to the estate than to the public domain, so then shel bal habayis, you can't take the thing you found, you have to give it back to the owner. Again, even if it's clear this thing has been here for like 50 years, if, again, we're talking about a kotel chadash, a new wall, meaning this wall has always belonged since the beginning of its construction to the current family who owns the building now. So therefore, it still belongs to them, just because even if the grandfather forgot about it, so what? It doesn't make it ownerless. It's on his property, and it will stick to them forever. So they get to keep it. The Gemara speaks out, by the way, that we make the decision based on which side of the wall is close to the estate or the Rosh Hashanah, based on, we're assuming this kind of thing that you hold it from both sides, like a spoon. But if it would be actually like a sharp knife, what happened to a sharp knife? People don't hold knives by the blade, they hold them by the handle. And therefore, you could see from which direction the knife is pointing, where it came from, and then it would, you know, it came from the handle direction, if you know what I mean. So wherever the handle points, that's where it belongs. If the handle's pointing towards the Rosh Hashanah, then it's the Rosh Hashanah's, and vice versa. Okay, now the last case is, what happens if you have a home that's been rented out to lots of previous tenants? So the Mishnah is not really explicit. The Mishnah simply says, "Im haya maskir l'acherim," if this home has been rented out to others, "afilu besocha bias, hare elu shalo," if you find something even in the house, even with a simon, you can keep it. Now, why is that the case? So the Gemara says, obviously it can't be taken at face value. That's going contrary to what we just said up to now, the whole Perek. The point is, the previous tenant was a non-Jew. That's the case. And since the previous tenant was a non-Jew, and we are going to assume that if there are multiple people who have lived in this place, when everyone leaves, when each person leaves, they take their stuff with them, they look, they don't leave stuff behind, and therefore, whatever's left behind, we will safely assume belongs to the previous tenant. And since if the case is, and that's the case of our Mishnah, says the Gemara, one of the two cases, that the previous tenant was not Jewish, therefore the mitzvah of Shavas Veda doesn't kick in necessarily, and you can keep it. I should point out that while the mitzvah of Shavas Veda does not apply to non-Jews, that's only Echicha, your fellow Jew, there are plenty of scenarios in which it's the right thing to do to give it back to a non-Jew. For the sake of Kiddush Hashem, for the sake of peaceful relations, obviously you'll create great animosity if a person knows that you found the stuff and not giving it back to him and so on. So it's not necessarily so simple. But the mitzvah Shavas Aveda per se certainly does not apply. Neither the mitzvah Aseh Lo Aseh certainly doesn't apply to non-Jews. So that's the case of our mission here, that the previous tenant was a non-Jew. There is a second case the Gemara brings, another possibility, whereas even if you rented it, the previous tenants were three unrelated parties, they were all Jewish, since it could be of any of those three, and whoever lost it will assume that one of the other two stole it from him, and therefore he for sure gave up hope. That's the thought. If that's the reasonable presumptions, then a person who finds it could keep it because he can safely assume that the person who lost it isn't coming back to get it because he gave up hope. That obviously is a little more complicated, and therefore if that would be the case, for as far as Halach Lamaisa goes, I would certainly recommend you ask your local Orthodox rabbi.